everyone in the tech field wants to do three things: relax, automate, and get paid. There's no other tool out there that can make that more possible than D7. Go over to foolishit.com. Don't forget to use the promo code PodNutsShow20 to save an extra 20%. PodNuts would like to thank Nick Shaw for his continued support.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Geeksters, episode 96. Good show for you tonight. We got some fun stuff, some driving woes, if you will. I spent quite a bit of the time in the car yesterday. I want to talk to you guys about that. But joining me tonight, we got Mitch Heyman and Tim Bauermeister. Hey, Mitch, how's it going?
Not too bad. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Good. Any exciting news? How's work going for you?
Splendid. I had 4 days off, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
That's right. Last week was Thanksgiving.
Yes, it was. Got a good deal when I wasn't expecting to, because I was not going out for Black Friday, or actually in this case, it's you say Black Thursday, because there were a lot of the merchants were having their sales at 8 o'clock Thursday night. I just went out Friday like 9 o'clock and wasn't even looking to spend any money, and I got a good deal on a Sony Blu-ray player, Wi-Fi Blu-ray player, smart Blu-ray player for like $33.60 or something like that. Works great.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. And that's, so is this your first Blu-ray?
No.
No, okay.
No,
I
have a Magnavox, which works okay. Then I had the, remember when it was competing with the other, Blu-ray and HD, the other, and I had one of the, actually. Of course, you know, I bought that, and it didn't last too long.
Do you have a Betamax back there somewhere too?
I never got it. Excuse me, never got a Betamax, but they were actually better, I believe, than VHS.
I don't know. The reason I haven't made the switch to Blu-ray is because I have so many DVDs, and so
it doesn't matter. They play DVDs. They upscale.
But it's the whole, if I'm going to buy a DVD, then I might as well get it in Blu-ray if I have a Blu-ray player. But I only have a 32-inch. I only have a 32-inch TV, so I don't have like a huge big screen TV.
Right.
All the DVDs play in the Xbox, so we just.
Right.
Right now, I don't need it, but at some day maybe I'll upgrade. But right now, nah. So when people come over, I can't play Blu-rays. Sorry, I'm just not as cool. Oh well. If anybody needs me, I'm be in the corner. While I'm in the corner, hey Tim, how's it going?
Nobody puts baby in the corner.
Oh, Patrick.
Yes, Patrick. My less attractive older brother. I know. I being nothing more than a voice in a podcast, I can say things like that and get away with it. To answer the question, one, I'm doing good. Two, Thanksgiving was great. Three, I didn't buy anything. And four, yes, Betamax was better than VHS. And much like the insanity that surrounded the HD versus Blu-ray format wars, Beta got beat by VHS. The whole thing does nothing but stroke the egos of some jerks at the top and does nothing to serve the customer. I don't know why you guys are even discussing discs. I gave them up a long time ago.
Well, there you have it. I remember, speaking of discs, I remember when my father bought what were the big ones? The big discs.
Big laser disc.
Yeah, laser discs. I remember when laser discs came out, and the first movie we ever bought on laser disc was Dances with Wolves.
Okay.
And I remember that. I remember laser discs. Oh, what's he got? He's got something.
Bitch has something.
HD, DVD, Toshiba. Something. I don't even know what that is, Mitch.
It's the HD player. The one that failed.
And it, physically or just spiritually?
Both. It didn't work good at all. It doesn't even work good with DVDs.
It failed formatally.
There it is.
Formatively. I don't know.
I like it. It is now. It's a geeksterism. We've got gruntled. That was actually
the Geeksters Dictionary. the Geekshinary.
Oh. Trademark, quick. Grab that. I'm going to grab that webpage.
Somebody's already. Somebody in the chat is already wanting $500. You know, I mean, I don't want to, like, just jump into this. And I kind of feel like I put a period on the whole thing. But you know what? I'm still angry about that. Look, I mean, do you remember the first time that you burnt a CD with a computer? It was like the coolest thing ever.
Yes.
Wasn't it the coolest thing? And then when you burnt your first DVD, wasn't that awesome? Because it was just like a CD, but it was like, oh my gosh, it holds like, doing the math, like
50?
CDs plus 6.5 CDs. I mean, it was amazing. And you could when the dual layers came out, I mean, it's kind of like, yeah, I don't know. But I mean, now you had like the full, 8.5 gigs, just like a DVD you buy in the store. And there was a progression. We had this amount of time, bam. We had this amount of time, bam. And it always seemed like the next best thing was around the corner. And there it was. It was going to be this, in my mind, it was going to be the, was it HD? High def? I mean, I don't know.
Right, right.
Was it the format? I don't even remember what it was called.
It's HD and Blu-ray, I think, something
HD.
Like that.
HD. I mean, did it
stand? Yeah, that's what this is. Yeah, that's what this is.
It was so silly. I mean, you know, and the years dragged on and on and on. You know, I thought, why can't I just buy this and, you know, start burning data discs to this? It always felt like it was around the corner. And it never became, the prices never became reasonable. It never came down. And you know what? It turned out nobody won from it. So,
no.
And the whole thing with the Blu-ray, you know what? I don't know. Is that
it's still more DVDs are sold than Blu-ray, I'm sure.
Well, and now I'm curious what's happening now, because even if you Tim, you're saying that, you know, the newest thing is right around the corner, streaming.
Yep. Well, and that's, you know, yeah. I'm sorry. I meant like optical.
Oh, okay. Disc. Never mind.
No, because you're exactly right. That's kind of where I was going with it. It's because, you know, I just wanted a viable next step in optical storage. Because you know what, when it comes to fulfilling a certain need for backup or moving large amounts of data, you know, back and forth, there is a space that optical media serves marvelously. It's not all things to all people, but there is a time and a place where optical storage is awesome, and to have the option of burning stacks of DVDs onto one disc, that's I think it's a crime that we never really had a viable option for that. And second of all, they spent so long fighting over it. You know, it was like Pirate Bay came along and made the whole thing just kind of go away. I'm not saying every instance, but it was like Pirate Bay or Netflix, or, you know, you go down the line and all of a sudden you're not buying Blu-rays of every movie you want to watch. You might, I don't know how many Mitch has, but I mean, you might have 15 or 20, or I don't know. I don't even have a Blu-ray player, but you might have a stack of films that are important to you and that, Maybe you loved on DVD and you wanted to replace on Blu-ray because you probably watch them once a year and it's worth it. But I tell you what, the format war went on so long, nobody won as far as I'm concerned. It was just ridiculous.
Well, and now there's still, I mean, there's, and now, you know, we have Blu-rays and everybody's releasing things on Blu-rays. But Tatras in our chat room brought up a point that I was going to mention right after that, was digital media now doesn't matter. We've now moved on to that. Now I have thumb drives, you know, I have 32, 64 gig thumb drives. I mean, my phone has a 64 gig card in it. 64 gigs. A DVD is only 7 or 4, and then double, you know. So we've, as far as storing data and speed, we have moved on. I think digital media or optical media is going by the wayside. I used to buy stacks of DVDs and, you know, like by the hundreds.
I got them.
I have spools of them sitting down here because I use them every now and then, but really, if I have to move data from one place to one place for a client or for myself, a thumb drive, a portable hard drive. Now that hard drives are so cheap, and now that everybody's using streaming media or their smart TVs have USB drives in them, you can plug your external hard drive to that and view a movie or something right from there. You know, I don't expect to have. I think DVDs will be around for a while. I think there's still a value, but I don't think that there's anything more that's going to come of them.
I agree.
That's my thought.
I'll tell you what, if they released a disc tomorrow that held 50 gigs and you could burn it in 5 minutes, I bet you the optical market would be right back up. If you could buy the disc cheap, if you could buy the burners for $30, there would be a new market like that. Maybe not necessarily with as a way of buying movies or this sort of thing. But I still wish I had some reasonable media that I could burn copies of everything that I wouldn't want to lose in a fire, the photographs, videos, whatever, the kids, the whole documents, because that's what I was used to do. I was used to burn them. My in-laws got a set. My father-in-law got a set. A third set went in the safety deposit box. But you know what? I don't do that anymore. Of course, I can't keep up with it because we do so much more of it. The quality of it is so much higher, and I don't have a reasonable media to burn it to.
Well, then you move it off-site. You put it in the cloud, or you put it someplace like that. So instead of having,
Google does that for me.
Well, of course, yeah. If you ever forget what your password is, just ask the NSA. On a serious note, you know, I understand. I used to do the same thing where you'd have a copy at my place. I'd have a copy off-site. I'd have another copy somewhere else. You know, now you just put it in the cloud. Now, whether you use BitTorrent Sync to copy it between, your place and
which is fantastic, by the way.
Well, of course, and it is. And now that media is so expensive and the price per gigabyte is so darn expensive, you can make yourself a cheap box, run whatever operating system you want on it, put it at your in-laws' house, across the United States, and then set up BitTorrent Sync and copy your stuff from here to there. And then on their side, maybe send it off to the cloud or something like that. Because, the problem with one of the downfalls of BitTorrent Sync is that when I delete something, it gets deleted on the other side. So you always want to have a backup of that just in case. So you base it in the cloud, whether you use CrashPlan or Carbonite or some, security, another security program, throw it in the cloud somewhere like that. Now you're talking, the cost that you have done to do that, what is this going to cost you? BitTorrent Sync is free. CrashPlan, $60, $70 a year. You build up a sub $200 computer. You're talking for less than $300. You can have this up and running.
You're talking about the price of the hard drives. I mean, any one of us probably has several machines sitting around that would be adequate.
Right. Right.
Throwing so drives and away you go.
So I think hypothetically, if the optical media were able to rejuvenate and have a new spark and a new fire underneath them, I think it's too little too late. I think as consumers, we have moved on. I think media is slow to burn. It's slow to read and write from. And now, we just do it. I mean, look at our show. We use BitTorrent Sync to sync our data. How fast does it take for us to sync all of our data? Minutes.
Not too long.
You can't burn a DVD that fast. You can't burn a CD that fast. So, I don't know. That's my sense on it. It's not very many of them. It's like one and a half. It's not really two.
Well, no, but I mean, Mitch, you tell us. Like, is the Blu-ray player? I mean, is that the main way that you enjoy your content, watching movies and that, or what is the scenario in which you have a Blu-ray movie and you're watching it?
I'll tell you what, 95, probably 98% of the movies I rent is DVD. I very rarely rent Blu-ray. If they don't have it in DVD, I will rent the Blu-ray if they have it.
You're renting movies then, okay.
Yeah, that's how I do
it. Local store or Netflix?
Redbox.
Oh, okay. All right. Redbox is the bomb.
And it's only $1.50 for Blu-rays, like $1.20 for DVDs.
Right.
And
we're talking
the difference is, you know, between DVD and Blu-ray, you see a difference, but it's not, you know, it's not, of course, it's only 30 cents more, but it's not a whole lot. It's a difference, but, you know, I think that's the reason why DVD is still around, because it's not a big enough difference.
We are comparing apples and oranges here. We're talking about digital storage. Using DVDs as storage, and then we're also talking about using, you know, our DVDs and optical media as far as movie viewing for audio and visual. Yes, I would say that audio and visual, Blu-rays, because you can get that high definition. You can do that. But it also depends on if you have the equipment. You bring a Blu-ray player into my house on my 32-inch TV.
It's going to still look good. It'll still look good.
Yeah, but I mean, is it worth it for me? Probably not.
Number one, most likely your 32-inch TV is only going to do 720. It's not going to do 1080 in most cases.
Right. And so I'd have to get another TV.
It depends. And is it a CRT we're talking about?
No, it's a...
I mean, right now, Mark, your video is almost black and white. I don't know.
I know. The good news is I don't have to heat the downstairs. I just turn on my 32-inch CRT.
Yeah.
You don't have to turn on any lights either. I mean, night lights. You got those nice tubes in the back glowing.
Hey, that's how we roll in the Pacific Northwest with our winter tans.
Pacific Northwest. So I know that they're not the least bit concerned about.
Hey, I have a redwood tree keeping it from wobbling.
Here's a good question. Do you guys collect DVD? Do you keep them? Do you buy them and keep them?
I have a lot of DVDs.
I have a lot too.
I don't throw them away.
And the problem is we sit down and we watch 90% of the movies or TV that we watch is Hulu, Netflix,
right.
Crackle. And we look at these DVDs and we're like, well, that's on Netflix. That's on Netflix. That's on Netflix. That's, you know, and it's just like, well, okay.
We very rarely watch something over again. Very rarely.
We are big Redbox fans. That's definitely
how we get
our movies.
They're getting into the streaming business too. I've been getting emails from it.
Well, I just got an email the other day, or a notice on my Xbox the other day. 99 cents, I could stream World War Z. I didn't watch it. I forgot to do it. I was going to sit down with my wife, but I don't know if it's still available. For 99 cents, I can watch it. I mean, I can't rent it cheaper than that. I don't have to leave my house.
No, it's $1.20.
You're right. I saved 21 cents. It's going to cost me more in gas to go to the nearest Redbox to get that.
True.
And you know, you can't drive without any pants on. So, I mean, I guess you can. I can't get out of the car to go get the Redbox thing. Or I can stay at my home and just sit there with, you know.
I don't know how we got.
For illustration only. It was not...
I zoned out for a minute. Every once in a while, when I come back, I'm glad I did.
Yeah.
Sometimes I get busted, but this time I came back a little. I thought, you know what? I think I'm just going to go back where I was. Well, Martin, do you spend a lot of time entertaining yourself with all this different media? I mean, I don't know. My family is.
No, we have, you know, new, you know, like my daughter's asked for Despicable Me 2 for Christmas. Well, it's not out on DVD yet. The kids do watch movies over again, especially, you know, the Netflix and Hulu is great, except that it's not all the TV shows or all the shows aren't there. So there may be some movies that my kids really like that we get on DVD just for the ease of being able to rewatch it. But usually if it's fairly new, then it comes out fairly quick on any of those streaming medias, especially if it's an NBC show. Hulu owns NBC, so, you know, Saturday Night Live is fun to watch. You can watch that the day after.
I think Comcast owns NBC or vice versa.
Yeah, it all trickles down.
Do they still, or did they separate somehow?
I don't know. I think...
I think Comcast. Did you say Hulu?
I think Comcast bought NBC. Let me look it up.
NBC owns Hulu.
Okay, there you go. All right.
Oh, Hulu too? Okay.
I'm looking at a Wikipedia article. Maybe somebody in the chat room wants to check that out for us, whether or not Comcast still owns NBC or owns at least a majority of it. This Wikipedia article is in 2009, saying that Comcast announced its intent to acquire a majority stake in the media conglomerate NBC Universal from GE. So I don't know if that's still the case. And of course...
Yeah, I don't know.
The deal went through, resulting in Comcast owning 51% of the company until March 2013, when GE divested its stake. Comcast now owns 100% of NBC Universal. So, Wow. Yes, Comcast does own all of NBC. So, yeah, it all, you know, when you start looking at who owns who and what owns what, you end up getting to like 12 to 20 companies, and you go, oh, I didn't realize that. You know, such and such and such and such all the way down owns, you know. Because random things like, you know, who owns, you know, what is Disney? Who, does somebody own Disney? Or Disney owns, like, Disney owns the Anaheim Angels. Disney owns...
ABC or something? Is ABC involved or is it somewhere? An ESPN? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you never realize it until you kind of look at the parent companies and go, oh my gosh, you know, I didn't realize it was such a... The family tree is pretty huge.
Oh, no. Basically, if you track every single company back far enough, you eventually come to Steve Cherubino.
I was just saying,
I don't know if you're aware.
You took the words out of my mouth. I was just going to say, Geeksters is owned by Podnuts.
That is awesome. And he is a good gentleman, too, yeah, I want to say. He's a very nice man.
Steve Cherubino isn't even a real person.
He's just...
He was created in art department somewhere.
He's like the Max Hedron, but in a nice way.
By the way, you didn't
get Steve Cherubino too. I was just being
there. Was how many people were in the Podnuts meetup last night? Not too many.
There wasn't one. There was some. It wasn't happening. So
I got you.
Couple people jumped in, but nothing.
Gotcha. Oh, theme parks too. Yeah, the chat room says theme parks.
Oh, that's right.
You remember when you were a kid, the theme park was just like owned by the
theme park,
Grandpa, the star of the thing. You know, I mean, now it's everything is owned by multimedia,
right, mogul,
degenerate conglomerate.
Hershey Park. You ever been to Hershey Park? It's not too far from you. 4 or 5 hours.
Pretty far from me. I'm in my basement.
Far is relative.
Yeah, also. It really is. You know, speaking of far, it's especially relative when you go on a job. It's like far away, but then the job turns out awfully small, and then the distance driven seems almost a lot further.
Wait, what?
Yeah, say that again. I'm lost.
I'm like, yeah. What?
Well, yeah. Okay, let me start over this awkward segue, in that, you know, distance is relative. And if you were going to a big job, then you would drive so far. But if the job turned out to be really small, then the distance traveled would seem that much greater.
Oh, yes, and I have a story to go along with that statement. How's that? Was that okay?
Segway King. I remind you of a story and it didn't ring a bell.
I'm like... I got nothing. Oh, wait, that's right.
Just make something up.
I know. Quick, ad lib. All right. So yesterday I got a call yesterday morning saying the one of my clients, that's an awkward segue. I feel like I'm was like thrown out onto a stage and the spotlight turned on
it was pretty bad, but you know what I mean? The like the very first rule of what do you call that? Like where you're ad-libbing on a stage, the other actor.
Improvising.
Improv. Like the very first rule of improv is you never say no. So, you know, we're on the stage. We're like, hey, I don't know. I say to your character, I say, hey man, remember when you went to the store and then you're supposed to take that wrong with it. You don't say, no, I don't remember that.
No, nope. Got nothing.
That's the first rule of improv. Hey, remember when you just, no, don't remember that. I'm like, okay. Nope.
Okay. Right. Well, hey, remember
Mitch,
the time
you remember when you fell asleep? Nope, don't remember that.
Nope. Okay.
We'll be refunding right. tickets at the back door.
That's right. Any hate mail, please send to Steve Cherubino at no.
Oh my gosh.
Creation of the pod, that's our department.
All right. So I got a call yesterday morning from a client saying that her monitor is showing white snow and it says, please change the channel. And I'm thinking, wait, what? Like, and she says, yeah, it's the white, like nice. They're here, poltergeist white static snow. And I thought, what? It's a monitor. How weird is this? And she says, well, I had, you know, there's a guy who works in this apartment complex and he's a tech and he came down and he looked at it and he couldn't figure out what was going on with it. And, you know, we're not sure if it's the monitor. We're not sure if it's the computer, but it's acting like a TV. You know,
it was that website you had last week. They went there.
That's right. That's right. I should ask them. Are you at Happy that's Time so Virus? Funny. Happy Hour Virus? That's how you segue. Anyways, I get her on the phone and
Knifeville too small. Knifeville small.
No, that was to me, not to you. I'm gonna finish my story. I get her on the phone and I have her take some pictures and there's HDMI cable, not VGA. So I'm thinking, well, maybe that's it. And of course, the whole time I'm thinking it's not a TV. It's a monitor, right? So I spent about an hour troubleshooting with her, powering it on, powering it off, you know, going from HDMI to VGA. Anything? I said, is there anything on the back of the TV that would suggest that this is a, you know, on the monitor that would suggest that this is a TV or anything? No. No, it plugs right in. Like, I had her move the VGA cable, like unplug the HDMI and plug in the VGA cable. Anything on the back of the TV or on the monitor? Nope. It's still just showing. I'm like, can you reset the monitor? You know, maybe do a system factory reset on the monitor. Nope. I can't figure out how to do that. It's just not working. So after about an hour, I was like, all right. So this client lives about 2.5 hours from me. So I swing by the main office, which is up here. I grab a laptop, a test laptop that they were using, just in case I need to reload the system. She can still work from there on site. I brought my monitor. I brought some other parts with me because thinking I'm not going to bring the monitor or the desktop, excuse me, back home to repair it, to turn on and drive back down. I'll repair it on site. I get down there after about 2.5 hours of driving, walk in. Sure enough, it looks like snow. It looks like a TV. And I turn the monitor around, and sure enough, RCA cables, VGA cables, coax cable for the TV. Like, it's a TV monitor. I said, I like, okay, is there a remote control for this? She means this one right here? Ba-ding! I grab the remote control. I click on the input, blink. Hey, there's the monitor. There's my Windows XP or Windows 7 box. I was like, oh, all right. I said, any other issues? And she's like, oh, I mean, she was so sweet about it. Now, I had no problem going down there and visiting her. It was just one of those things was like, okay, any other issues you have? Yeah, I can't scan. We haven't been able to scan for months because she's fairly new. The other person left. Months. And I open up the, Brother. They have a control scanning center. So I open that up. I put a piece of paper in the scanner. I hit scan on the computer. It takes it in, scans it. She's like, oh, it works. So I said,
you're magic.
any other issues you're having? She says, no, everything works really well now that I can get on my monitor. I mean, she was really sweet. Can I give you can I get you some water? Can I make you a sandwich? Can, you know,
water. Yeah, it's around my.
And so I get in the car and I call her boss who had sent me and I said, hey, it's all working now. It was set to TV. Looks like when she put some stuff in the drawer, she bumped the remote control, which wasn't mentioned to me. And because I put the I swear it was just a monitor. I was like, I don't remember this being a TV monitor at all. And because the monitor I put in place now, I think maybe the monitor got switched because the monitor I put in place, I bought from Costco and I had, and I've deployed the same monitor for this same company at 5 other locations and they are not TV/monitors. I would remember that. So I don't know if the monitor got replaced at some point without me knowing, or I don't know, but needless to say, so then 2.5 hours back home. So I was on site for 7 minutes and it was a 5 hour drive. So sometimes big job driving equals little stuff on site. But yeah.
That's a tough one, you know, especially, obviously you're dealing with somebody who tech savvy enough to really like get what's going on with that, then they're really not tech savvy enough to describe the situation, really answer your questions, no matter how well formed your questions are, they still don't quite get you to where you need to be until you see it.
Right. I mean, I should have had her taking a picture of the back of the monitor.
You know, and that's kind of where I was going with this. I'm not saying that I would have done that because I after being on the phone for so long, I should be like, okay, I'm just going to get in the car and I'm just going to go there. I don't know what I'm going to get into, but I want to initiate the repair process now, and that's exactly it. You know, a couple pictures, man. You would have been like, face.
Right.
So.
And I really think as all of us techs, there's always that one. You know, this company buys a chunk of time from me, so they're not. You know, this isn't anything. You know, it's not like they're going to be wind up with this huge giant bill for this. It's just, you know, but what will happen is this will stick with me. You know, you get burned or you make a mistake like this. And I was out time, some gas money. I caught up on all my podcasts. So, I mean, there's always a silver lining. But I know that in the future, if something happens, I'm going to say, could you take a picture of the back of the monitor and send it my way? You know, I had to take a picture of the front of the monitor with what the error was. I had to take a picture of the back of the computer so I could see whether or not it was using VGA or HDMI, thinking maybe she was getting some cross interference from something, but I didn't ever take a picture of the back of the monitor. And that, I mean, I could have saved myself many hours in the car by that. And for the future, that will stay with me and I will know that. And I think every tech has had that. I think everybody in life has had that one or twice or five times
if I just stopped and thought about it, I wouldn't have done that.
Right. Or you go, lesson learned. I will know that for the future. So, I guess, you know, if techs out there, if you have a chance and your client can, and they're far away, you know, if it was just down the street, no problem. I mean, even like I said, even that it was 2.5 hours one way there to get there, no problem. But for techs, you know, if it is a distance away, guys, and somebody can take a picture, just have them take pictures and send it to you. I mean, that time of having them do that.
Yeah, half of them will not be able to do that either, though.
Well, and if they can't, then there's nothing you can do about that. But if they can, like this lady was able to, then I could have saved myself some time. Because really, you know, they're getting billed for you just working with them anyways. So having her take a picture was just a little bit more time on top of the whole thing. So.
They have another monitor laying around they could try.
That was an option, but I think that monitor was broken, or I'm not sure, you know. So it was just, it gets to, you know, you had brought it up a little earlier. It gets to the point where you're just like, I just need to get this fixed.
Yeah. You know?
And
it's like, I've collected enough data. I'm ready to launch into repair mode. Everybody get out of my way. It's like, hurry up and drive. You got like,
right.
There's like the 5 hour section of. And you get there, and then you get there, and you launch into repair mode again, and unfortunately, I don't know. I still think that's better. I still think that's better than driving 20 minutes and walking into a complete 1 week disaster of something.
Oh yeah,
like yeah. Oh, all those noises. Your raid's dead. Oh nice.
Yeah, I mean, I have internet. Could you come check it out?
That
but we don't have internet. Could you come check it out? It may be the wireless router. I'm not sure. You get there and you're like, yeah, that side of the building caught fire when?
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Yeah. It looks like all those pictures you've seen of like the wire, the cabling on hanging from the wires and like in like the slums of India.
Yeah, somewhere in there, there's maybe a cable loose. One of the tabs broke off.
Or no, I unplugged it. I don't know where it came from. I just plugged it back in over there. I don't remember which wire it was.
Yeah, maybe blue, maybe brown.
Oh, I'm colorblind. I can't help you.
Yeah, I'm colorblind. No.
I remember like there were sparks when I put it in there, though, so I didn't touch it again.
It may have been electrical. I'm not sure.
I am 7 feet tall, so I can reach all of them, so that doesn't help you. And today's my last day. Thanks.
Thanks. So I did have a call like that kind of today. I got a call.
Yep. Gross incompetence. Bye.
No, it wasn't anybody's last day. Nobody's last day. But what had happened was, is I got a call yesterday on my way home from this other job saying, you know, hey, network's down. Can you come take a look at it? I was like, sure. I'll be there tomorrow. And they said, well, all right. I was hoping you could make it today, but that's fine. So I get there today, and what happened was, is well, first off, there is no documentation from the other tech, or if there was another tech. It's just there's nothing. So I get there today, and sorry, I lost my train of thought. I get there today, and what's happening was is the internet comes in through the Comcast cable modem out to a little Cisco 4-port VPN 10100 switch, and then out from those to just a couple people in this big office. There's another whole separate network, but this is just this little office network, kind of a little office inside of a big office. And I get there, plug in my stuff, nothing works. I'm not getting an IP address. I'm getting nothing. And somebody was there, and they said, well, this may be their stuff, but we're not sure. So I'm going in not knowing at all what equipment belongs to this company and what equipment belongs to the other company. I see that there's a big Cisco switch and some other Netgear stuff, and okay, I think that's theirs. This must be ours, this little stuff. So plug my computer into the Comcast cable modem, reboot the cable modem just to see if we get anything. Nothing. I don't get an IP address from the Comcast cable modem. Okay, so power cycle down the Cisco switch, which is also a router, which I think that I'm assuming right off the bat, that's giving you the DHCP scope. Plug in my computer in there, power that off, power back on, nothing. I mean, it's just not, I'm not even getting assigned an IP address. I'm getting zero. Start messing with things like, okay, cable this, cable that. Is this working? Is it the cable? Start unplugging. And so I'm there for about a half an hour just messing. I'm texting the somebody else who's not on site but is part of the company. And they call Comcast, and Comcast says, no, that's not our router. We can ping it just fine. And then we got talking about the VPN. They said, yeah, we have the VPN router there because we would VPN into the server, but we don't anymore. It's like, you have a server? Well, yeah, there should be a box right below that. And I saw the box there earlier, but nobody had said anything that that's their server. So I turn on a monitor, and sure enough, it's got the business name on it. I'm like, okay. Small business server 2003. Anybody know the admin password? Nope. I'm like, all right, so let me try this admin password, which is the one they've kind of used across for the other networks that they own. And it works just fine. I'm like, all right, at least I'm in. So I go to the DHCP scope. DHCP scope. Not running. I'm like, okay, maybe then that's not running from the server. Go to DNS. DNS is not running. So go to system logs. System logs red. All the system logs are just filled up with red. I'm like, well, okay. Yeah. Okay. So let's reboot the server then. Cause let's fix this then. And my computer is plugged in. So I've hooked everything back up. Cable modem to VPN, router, to the server, and then my computer is plugged into the router. I reboot the server. In the process of rebooting the server, bing, I get an IP address. So server comes back online. Everything's happy. It needs a lot of updates. Nobody's done any updates to it, but DNS starts up. DHCP starts up. So if techs out go ahead.
It's ironic. It was a Windows server.
Well, I mean, yeah, because it bonked. Yeah, that's.
I'm just kidding.
No, I know. So what made me think about this was, so they're back up and running. I was there for, and then I documented everything because there was no documentation. I still need to finish writing it up tonight. So techs always, everybody has their own way of doing documentation. Some people do a huge giant folder of documentations. Other people have logs.
Some people just leave a folder on the desktop and the computer. Random.
Or they don't do nothing.
Just random right. Things they've copied and pasted. And it's like a
right. Right. So what I do is I have all my data. I have subfolder. Like I have got my drive that I keep all my data on, and then it's backed up. And I have subfolders. I've got the parent company, and then subfolders for the sites. And in that, I've got like an admin document, and in there has like the external IP address, what the DHCP scope is, what's providing DHCP, like. I could give it to you, Tim and Mitch, and you guys could say, when I get on site, I see the usernames, the passwords, what servers, what's handling what resources, there was not any of that provided. And if that was provided, I would have been in and out in 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So even if you feel like documentation is taking a lot of time, it does take a lot of time, but if for some reason you were to leave or get hit by a bus or for whatever reason, I have a document between me and my clients, and I can leave them at any time, and they can leave me at any time. There's just, it's just part of being a business owner.
Internet etiquette.
But make sure you have stuff documented. It doesn't take that much time, and it doesn't have to be perfect, and it doesn't have to be, this huge giant thing with bookmarks and sublinks and categories, and, just at least get something down. So that way I can give those, because I'm going to give this now to them. And then if something were to happen, they have something on file that they can hand out to the next guy. Or if they decide that we need to separate ways, I can say, here you go. This is all my documentation for everything I've done for you. Even though we're parting ways for whatever reason, I'm not going to just screw you over and pretty much say, see ya, I'm taking all this data with me. And the next tech is going to have to just find out by himself. I'm going to give it all to them. And you know what? You may lose a customer. They may be parting ways with you for some reason, but what may happen later on down the road is they may hear that somebody else needs a tech, and they may say, hey, we had this tech at one time. Or maybe not, but you need to stand up and make sure that your stuff's documented for you and make sure it's documented for the future.
I think that's, I don't, depending on the contracts written or what the expectations and whatnot, but in my mind, I think that it's typical that when you are, building something like this from the ground up, or you're going in and you're making it yours, I think that it's the customer isn't buying what the contractor has built. I believe the customer is also buying what the architect. So I think that you owe them, not in every case, but I think it's typical. I think that you do owe them a functioning system that's working properly. But I think that you also do owe them, the quote unquote blueprints. And so think that it's good form. I think that belongs to them, unless for whatever reason I think it should almost be specified that they would not get it. I think that if for whatever reason, if you died tomorrow, somebody should be able to step in and take care of your customer like you did. In the same way that if there was if some other tech for whatever reason moved or couldn't service their customer anymore, you would want to be able to step in, seamlessly take over. Obviously, you would reconfigure that, all that data. To them, it was information. To you, maybe it's just data. You may want to process it into a form that you are comfortable of working from, be it, kind of explain your process, but that you could just very quickly step in, take over, it makes sense, and just go. I've worked with someone going into a number of situations that were absolute complete disasters. Everything was a detective job. top to bottom. And, you know, and when we left, whatever reason, you know, we were able to pass off a book, you know, here, or files, the whole thing. Bam, this is what you have. This is everything you need. You know, license keys and everything. I think that's, I really think that that's how you sleep at night, in my mind. Well, I don't know. Maybe I'm overselling this here, Martin. I mean, you are.
Well, no, you're not. Because remember, you know, as small business owners, we're not just selling our products. We're selling ourselves, right? They're buying, you know, they're buying Tim, they're buying Mitch, they're buying Martin, they're buying, you know, whoever else. You know, I'm selling myself just as much as I'm selling my experience. So if I give them a, you know, if I give them a great big system and I hook all this stuff up and I do this type of routing and that type of port forwarding and everything works away, but yet I don't provide them me, you know, something to go on, then I think I've fallen short.
Well, that's kind of, yeah, it's kind of like a weird. Locksmith goes in and rekeys the place and he hides the keys.
All right.
Have fun, folks.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, you know, if it was a new build or something like that, I could have reset the router, you know, and tried that. I could have, you know, but I knew it was a VPN router, so I didn't really want to plug the, you know, press, pull out my paperclip and, you know, and go that route. Because, you know, what if there was already, you know, port forwarding and address translations and stuff already set up on that? I don't want to mess that up because I don't have any documentation to fix it. You know, you never want to put yourself in a situation. There are times where you have to, but put yourself in a situation where you have to reset something to get around it if you don't have a back door, you know?
You don't want to do anything you can't undo.
Right. And there are situations where you're just like, you know, I'm going to have to reset this because there's nothing else we can do and we'll just have to build it from scratch. And it's going to probably take a little longer, especially if there's a lot of translations going on, if there's a lot of port forwarding. And most of the time what happens with that is that you rebuild it, you hit 80 to 90% of it. And then as things come up, you know, oh, wait, this one thing didn't work right. I was in that, my situation like that with the school. We had to make some stuff. There wasn't any documentation. I did the best that I could. And 4 months later, you know, I was hearing, hey, we don't have access. You know, this external company that gets in and does the key system. You know, I brought that up. One of our many shows ago, we talked about the key system at the school. You know, they couldn't access their data. Well, I was like, okay, so we need to go in and port forward that. That wasn't done. You know, but we didn't even know for 4 months after the fact. You know, you're going to run into that whenever you have to do a big reboot. But you shouldn't, you know, if everything's documented and you pass it on to the next tech, that way that tech is not in your shoes trying to sink or swim just like I was today.
Yeah, I've been there. I've been there. I've seen it. Yeah, speaking of that, that kind of reminds me of a story where this place, it was ridiculous. I mean, we were there a year and a half, and it was just one thing after another. And this place, I mean, it was cobbled together by just decades of IT. I think there might have been some pros in there, but I mean, it was like everything from IT pros that probably didn't get paid and quit, all the way down to the owner's son. I mean, it was just everything. And so it was always, you never knew what you were going to run into. But I remember it was the same thing. It was like what you're talking about. It was an hour and a half away from me. Every little problem they had, I'm like, Please let me handle this over the phone, because I don't want to get in my car and drive 3 hours round trip for something that's going to take me 20 minutes. And he had 4 machines that lost internet lost network connectivity. And maybe they had something in common. Everything else was cool. You know, scores of machines throughout the building. These 4, and they really weren't, they were like isolated. I were at the other end of the building. Anyway, excuse me. like the number one rule of troubleshooting is that the longer you have to drive, the less you can think about the job. Because you'll talk yourself into a solution, and then you'll get there and you'll spend the whole time to prove yourself right. You almost just have to just get on site and be fresh and think about it. Anyway, there were these four machines, and sure enough, they had no network connectivity. They had no not see each other. They couldn't see anything. So, but basically, they'd lost connection with the server. And I mean, there was just strung through all these, strung willy nilly through the drop ceiling. I thought, oh my gosh, it was a filthy, dirty, facility. Oh my gosh. I finally tracked it down. They had these four machines. I finally was able to lead them back to I actually got lucky. I walked down this hallway and turned a corner. I didn't even know this hallway was here. I didn't even know. I got to looking, and up on top of those emergency lights, like if the power goes out, on top of that was a network switch. Where apparently they only have one network, Ethernet run that far, and then they just plugged into the switch that was sitting on top of there, and stuck back, and there were the four cables ran out to these computers, and there was a real chintzy little net, a little chintzy little Netgear thing, and the cable ran down the wall, and it had a huge wall wart. This thing must have weighed 7 pounds, and it plugged into this receptacle. Of course, upside down, right? So the weight of it naturally would fall out. And it was about 6 inches above this trash can. And apparently when the cleaning lady had emptied the trash can the night before, she'd picked it up, bumped that wall wart, the weight of it had knocked it out, and they lost connectivity. This four computers. I could have been there for the rest of my life finding this thing. I don't know. I got lucky. I tell you what, when I found that, I was on my knees. Thank you, God, that I found that, because I could have been there for the rest of my life, and I would have been pulling new cables and all this other stuff. When I found it, I plugged that thing. I stretched the cable out so I had an extra inch, and I turned it over so the weight of it would be at the bottom. And I plugged it in, and I put a big sign on it, don't unplug this, and I rerouted it. I tugged the wires, and the last thing I did was I pulled the thing out just far enough so that you guys see the little blinky lights, so that and then I went and told three other people. I said, look, this is what happened, here it is. I tell you what, I honestly thank goodness the cord wasn't another foot longer, because they would have stuck it up in the drop ceiling. I never would have found it. We're talking about these machines, they were 60, 70 feet apart, and this thing was just randomly stuck somewhere in the middle. I honestly could have been there a week searching for where all these wires eventually went in this filthy drop ceiling, and maybe never. So I was so grateful that day. That's the sort of thing you kind of run into. I guess if you're going to do that, documentation's probably too much to expect.
I've got one like that too, where this network went down, wireless network went down. Nobody knew where it was, what was causing it. I'd plug it in, unplug it, plug it into another switch. It wouldn't work. Nothing. Finally, ended up calling the phone guy who had been there once before me and kind of knew his way around the building just because he had been in and out. And he goes, "Yeah, there's a switch on the wall in this back closet up high." I go in there, and sure enough, there it is. The port went bad on it. So I plugged the other port in, ta-da, and I documented it. Because the same thing, I could have been there.
Network switch, not like a light switch.
No, like a network switch was just mounted to the wall.
I was imagining in the Christmas movie, a light switch, where the whole network, all of IBM goes down. One light switch, somebody bumps it or something.
Yeah, Mitch, were you going to, it sounded like you were going to say something.
It's late. No, I was just thinking about some similar situation. I was working on this, actually it was a lawyer's office, and I fixed their PC, and it wouldn't work. I hooked it back up. Yeah, wouldn't work. It would have worked fine here, and yeah, I went like two or three times taking it back to the house, and it was their router. It was I guess it was a Cisco router. One port was working on it, and finally, when I started switching the ports, it was they were all bad except for one port. And I said, "You're going to need a new switch." I mean, actually, it was a router, and so they got one, and they've never called me back since.
Good job, man.
No, I think they were upset because they had to put the money out to get a new router and
those router. Cheapskates.
Actually, it was family. I'm not supposed to say nothing now.
Oh, those family lawyers.
Yeah,
cheapskates.
I didn't want to do it anyway.
I'm only fixing this because your family.
35 miles one way.
That's it? 35 miles?
Well, I know you do it, but they pay me like I was family. I paid all right when they, you know, but
yeah, but this wasn't like it though. This was their business.
I think, you're right. But I think I scolded him one time because he was getting infected at home. He called me up 9:30, 10 o'clock. And that was the last time that I ever did anything for him.
Good.
Yeah. I was constantly, you know, his home PCs were getting infected. And it wasn't the kids, it was his. He was going on, mostly.
Nope.
Oh, sexysonographer.com.
Not necessary.
I probably should look that up first.
Yeah.
Don't go there until it's pod that's approved.
All right. So a couple weeks ago, we had... talked about remember the guys, the D-Link firmware?
Yes.
The backdoor so just to recap. So D-Link had the same password for, when you use a CD to configure your D-Link router, it bypasses the web interface and it has just an automated backdoor or automated password. And that was able to, you could put that in the URL and bypass then and just jump right into the router. And I knew we had mentioned that they were going to release stuff before the end of the year. Well, they have. So, this was in October this happened, but D-Link has now released firmware updates for the DIR 100, DIR 120, DI 524, 524 UP, 604 UP, 604 Plus, the 624S, and then also the TMG 5240. There'll be a link in the show notes on that. But if you have any of those, and it's interesting enough, I was having an issue with one of those wireless routers, and it was the DI 524s, I believe, or maybe it was the 600 series, and it was having some issues with it, and I pulled it down. It was at a client's, and I said, oh. And then we ended up getting a new one, but I was like, oh, I should check and see if there's firmware. And it's been in the car. I haven't done anything with it. But I did have a client that I think had one of these routers, and they didn't have any issues with it. It was just kind of a mental note of when I saw it, I thought, oh. But if you have any of those routers, definitely go get the updates. I put a link, like I said, I'll have a link in the show notes. This is from Hacker News is where I got this from, but it looks like you probably go to D-Link. Or you can go to any of their sites, but yeah, if you just go to D-Link and you can get that taken care of. Update the firmware.
Cool, buddy. So they finally released that.
Yeah. So it took them. It looks like it took them a couple months, but you know, better late than never. And I'm glad that they did. They did release that, which is nice.
Kind of important.
I think so. So I'm not old enough for any of this. Mitch, you're older than me. You probably remember this. Tim, I think you're a little older than me. I think so. We're just gonna talk about the Cuban Missile Crisis.
I remember that.
See, I don't know.
I was around.
I don't think I was around. I'm actually pretty sure I was not around. Okay, well then, Mitch, this story's for you. So, the president carries, all presidents carry some kind of a briefcase. It's commonly referred to as the football, and inside of that briefcase has, like, missile launch codes. The president, I don't believe the president himself actually carries it. I think people with him carry that, but it does have the missile codes, and that's, you know, that's for security measures. That way that people just can't go postal and start launching missiles without some presidential assistance, to the best of my knowledge, right?
Password 123.
Well, so...
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm going to jump the edge.
No. Oh,
well, I think it would be a little easier than that.
Yeah, actually. Okay, so here's what... So, no. they're all numbers, so maybe it's... I don't know.
Monica Cigar.
Inlete.
Monica Inlete. Cigar.
So, during the Cuban Missile Crisis, there was concern that President Kennedy, or at the time, would have been assassinated, or something may have happened to a president, and therefore you can't launch any missiles. So the Secretary of Defense, Robert McNamara, directly oversaw the installation of the PALS, and the PALS are the what is the PALS? It's the Permissive Action Links, and what that is it's that code, and you see it on the TV. Usually what happens is they have our movies, and they'll, you know, two people will break a card, like in The Hunt for Red October or something like that, where they break a card, they've got a code, the codes have to match. It's not necessarily like you see in War Games when it's spinning and it comes up with a code. All the codes have to match all 8 numbers have to match the first time, not just cracking one by one. Like you see in, what is that, the War Games, where HAL is, you know, it's cracking the codes one by one. That doesn't happen that way. Anyway, so the permissive action links, these codes are used to, of course, prevent nuclear weapons from going off, right? Because you have to match the codes, and the president has the football, which has the codes, and then they give the codes, and yes, they match, and then they put the codes in, and they launch the missiles. So, but if the president doesn't have the codes, and you can't launch the missiles because you have only half the key. Right. So Secretary of Defense McNamara thought that would be a problem. So he changed all the codes to 00000000.
Wait a minute, I'm writing this down. Could you say it one more time?
Right. It's 00. Anyways, it's 8 zeros. These codes now went unchanged for 20 years.
So, like, if somebody had just accidentally leaned on the keyboard.
Right. You know, you get a stuck key when you try to turn on your computer? Yeah, if somebody had done that, that could have been a problem.
Who was this again?
Secretary of Defense Robert McNamara. So it says, and while Secretary of Defense Robert McNamara directly oversaw the installation of PALS on U.S.-based ICBM arsenal, U.S. Strategic Command generals almost immediately had the PAL codes all reset to 00 whatever to ensure that the missiles were ready for use regardless of whether the president was available to give authorization. So, yeah, I came across this.
One man, the president, has the power to actually launch them, but another man actually has the power just to change them all.
Right.
So, yeah, I tell you what, it's with a wing and a prayer that any of us are still anywhere. Where's he now? Please tell me he's dead or something.
Probably.
I don't know. See?
Do you know, somebody's hacking his email right now. If he's not still alive. I would try all zeros.
It's just a guess. He died July 6, 2009.
Oh, not that long ago.
So, yeah.
That's an amazing story. How could that be true? How many millions of, how many millions spent on
figuring out that password?
Well, no, on the spying and the espionage and all this. Oh, yeah. When all they had to do was just like give a keyboard to like Mitch, who's fallen asleep, and it just like puts his.
It looks like I am.
No, that's what I'm saying. Just you're dozing off. You know, you just the elbow on the keyboard. I mean, they could have just. That's all it took. It's a stuck key.
Right.
Right. A stuck key and a missile silo launched the missile.
So that now, Martin, that was done before he was assassinated. They were changed, or after?
I don't know that.
Good. That's a good question.
But isn't the most obvious password the best?
Like security through obscurity. Nobody's ever going to think of this.
Nobody would ever guess. Like the password that 50 years later, geeksters will be using trying to get into like locked up iPhones.
0000.
Right. 0000. Hey, you know what? Here's the thing. If it's good enough to pair your Bluetooth device to your iPhone or Android device with 4 zeros, it's just double as good to launch nuclear missiles.
That's right. You know what? I tell you what, that explanation back in the 60s would have flown because they would have no idea what you're talking about.
You're right.
That would have sounded like ultimate geek speak.
What's a computer?
Right. What's an iPhone?
Bluetooth.
Mm-hmm. It's during Halloween.
Bluetooth. It's wireless you speak of. Who are you? You're like Martin Tesla over here.
Well, when they come out with these time machines, that's going to be early 60s, that's going to be one of the first places I go back to. And they're getting close, too.
What are you going to do? You're going to launch nuclear weapons? What are you going
to
do?
No, I just want to talk to myself and try to talk some sense into me when I was a little kid. Look, you want to grow up, look like this? I'll be talking to myself.
Just buy Microsoft stock, sell it. There you go. Proceeds to buy Apple stock, sell it.
And then buy the Google Bitcoins.
Sell it.
And meanwhile, I'll give them all the lottery winners for the next 30 years. Here, play these numbers.
What, say it again? Lottery number.
I'll give myself all the lottery number winners for the next 30, 50 years.
There's too much scrutiny on the lottery. I mean,
but you can't
keep winning again and again and again.
I know. I would be changing history. It wouldn't work.
That looks too suspicious.
Have you not seen any of the Back to the Future movies? You just don't mess with
that. I know. You're right.
Your kids will like start to disappear.
You're right. Oh, you know what? You promise?
Done.
It's like, maybe if I open this can of Coke. Nope, not yet. Maybe if I step on this lizard. Not yet.
What do I have to do to...
Maybe if I kidnap Walt Disney. Nope, not yet.
Nope, not yet.
We haven't heard that in a while.
Oh, gosh. I'm kidding, of course. No, that's absolutely. Good. Look, screw it. I'll mess with my future. Could it?
I don't think so.
Worse, but it could be better, too. I mean, it's 50-50.
You never know.
But you know what? I guarantee my past would be better.
Maybe. No. No, they didn't. But if you were to, little cool segue here, want to buy a book about time machines, where would you go?
Amazon.
Just blew my mind. Say that again.
I was just trying to do a sad segue about buying a book from Amazon.com. I mean, podnuts.com/Amazon. And this week...
Wait a minute, it's on my lower third.
This week, I don't know if you guys heard this, Jeff Bezos is going to... He mentioned about releasing, using drones to deliver packages.
All of that, right.
Yeah, so he said... that, and I'm not quoting him, but basically within the next 5 years, he would like to use unmanned drones to deliver packages up to 5 pounds from a local distribution center to you. And I've got a couple links that I have. One of them is actually a link from my local Fox News because it had some interesting information in it that I had not seen before.
I don't see what's so revolutionary about that. I mean, I've been getting my mail for years, and there's no sign of life inside that post.
But I mean, it's an unmanned drone. What are you guys' thoughts on that? Is that I don't know.
You know what? Why not?
Tim, I was telling Martin, a friend of mine. He's very, very ultra conservative. And he said, if he sees anything like that coming at his house, he's going to shoot it down. That's what he told me. So, I mean, it's very strange, very odd.
I mean, I get it that it's kind of the next step, but maybe that's the thing. It's a big step. I don't know. While the techie part of me says, oh, that sounds kind of cool. The other part of me says, I don't know. That's just... You know,
I don't know. You know, these drones could get, somebody could steal these drones and they'll have some kind of ulterior motives, these hackers, and they could drop whatever they want to drop, it just doesn't sound real good to me.
But
I don't know.
Right now, hackers give people like the FBI virus and they want the EU, what is it? Interpol. They want Interpol to they want you to send dollars to Interpol if you go to Kmart. I mean, that's the best these jokers have come up with. It's ridiculous. You know what? I think this sounds awesome. I think it's only a matter of time. And I think that all giant leaps in technology are socially acceptable if they happen in small enough, like, bites. So, you know what? I remember when I was a kid, when you bought your groceries at this one grocery store, they took your groceries and they put it in a cart, in a thing. And then you went to your car and you pulled around. And the little, like, basket, it was a very unique place. But the basket rolled down this conveyor, out the wall, and where you pulled in, it came out the wall, and then the guy picked it up and put it in your trunk. And so that's the way these things will start, in very small communities where it's being delivered, like, two blocks away. And nobody will think anything of it. Two blocks will become a mile inside that community until it's delivering like just outside the community. And you know what? Then you'll start seeing these little unmanned drones delivering people's medicine. And, slowly warm up to these things until finally it starts doing something for you. And then you want an unmanned drone doing everything for you. And then when you start seeing how much it's going to save you, from the post office and to this and to that. And all of a sudden it starts making sense to you personally. I mean, to actually like order something and have it show up tomorrow, delivered from Texarkana to my front door by an unmanned drone. Yeah, that's ridiculous. I mean, it happens in small enough little bits. And at some point you're watching it and you get just comfortable enough and just to the point where and then it starts making sense for you personally. I mean, that's kind of what technology does.
It is interesting. It is. It makes you think.
And I'll tell you what, that guy hasn't made many missteps.
No. Matter of fact, Martin and Tim, in Baltimore, we had a GM plant that closed up like it did a lot of cities. Yeah. Amazon is going there. They're going to have a big distribution center in Baltimore. Yeah.
Yeah, I think with the increase in the Prime, people buying the Prime stuff, yeah, they definitely need that. Well, the drones, they can only go about 10 miles, is what they're saying.
From distribution center?
Probably Union.
From distribution.
Yeah, okay.
What did you say, Tim?
Probably Union.
They just stop. Union break.
Yeah. Well, you know what? There is a lot of logistical red tape to break through. An unmanned device. I mean, you can't. You can't. The Yeah, there's a lot to work on. But you know, if anybody can do it, I believe he's one of the people that probably can. That's a visionary. And I tell you what, Amazon makes a lot of sense right now when you look at it. It's part of our daily lives. But man, I remember when the bubble burst, the tech bubble, and Amazon was this big thing. Nobody quite grasped it. And that guy's business went completely away. He was back in his car delivering crap people bought out of the trunk of his own. He believed in it so much. I mean, looking back, it seems silly. But at the time, I remember him doing that. And I thought, wow, you know, this guy really believes in this. But it seemed ridiculous what he was working on. So, you know what? I mean, the guy can picture it in his mind. He can already see all the gears turning. I'm fascinated by it. It makes more sense to me than some floating Google ship.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. It says that unlike the drones used by the military, Bezos's proposed flying machines won't need humans to control them remotely. Amazon's drones would receive a set of GPS coordinates and automatically fly to them, presumably avoiding buildings, power lines, and other obstacles.
That's what's going through my head.
Right.
Good luck on that. And,
but then it goes on to talk about how things like you would not be able to get drones delivering stuff to you like in Washington, D.C., which is a no-fly zone. Right. There are – I mean, just think of the red tape stuff for the FAA that they've got to do to get all of this done. This is – I mean, people talk – I mean, you have personal people. I mean, our good friend Liam flies his, you know – flight
planes,
his planes around, and those things go for miles and they circle around and they go and they do their things.
He lives in a rural area. You can see he lives in a rural area too.
Well, sure, but
for the most part,
but it's still the same thing where you still have, you know, you there, you do after once you there's a certain step between, and I don't know what the step is, and I don't know much about this, but I would assume there'd be a certain step of this is public, you can do this. If you have this kind of aircraft and you do these kind of things, you can just do it. Then you take that one little step and all of a sudden the government needs to get in the way and the government has all these rules and regulations and stuff that you have to follow. And of course, this is part of that. Having unmanned drones flying around your neighborhood, dropping off Amazon stuff. I mean, just yesterday I had a whole bunch of stuff shipped for my new place. You know, a lot of it for my office and how I'm going to set up my office. I got it. I ordered it on Friday. It showed up on Monday. I mean, I can't even. It's already super fast, and yet to now have a drone land on my front yard and just take off and leave something. It says it can carry up to 5 pounds, which he says covers 86% of the items that Amazon delivers. 5 pounds. The drones can.
So you're even if this thing fell out of the sky, we're not talking about it. Crazy. It's not like it's a flying Chevette.
No, but I mean, if you order a book or a movie or a DVD.
A DVD. Nobody wants those.
I know. You order your HD DVD or your Betamax VHS tape.
You know what? Well, I'll tell you what. The step that's missing is like the third dimension of the traveling map. I mean, there has to be some layer at what, I don't know, making a mess here, 100 feet, 150 feet or something, I don't know what it is, but there has to be some like third layer where they map out highways for these things to travel.
Right.
Yeah.
And I mean, having done that, and I tell you what, you know, look, I mean, spend 10 minutes with Google Maps. Okay, we can do this. You know, once they map out these routes, look, I mean, the country is crisscrossed with hundreds of thousands of miles of buried pipelines. So there's no reason not to think that they couldn't also mark out similar. I'm not saying that these things should their flight line should be above high tension. Oh, that would be fun, actually, high tension wires. Because if the Google drone misbehaves, it pays immediately. It just burns up on the way down.
I don't know. Can I keep it? It followed me home.
You know, I said they're putting up one distribution center in Baltimore. If they can only go 10 miles around there, it's all old section around there. You're going to have all those, you know, power lines, all kinds of stuff around there because it's so old. You know, everything's not underground around there, the power structure.
Yeah, I'm having trouble imagining actually getting off of these, like, this highway that I'm envisioning. Well, actually, every sci-fi movie you've ever seen, like, actually, I think it was maybe it was the second Back to the Future, right? When they have, like, they're flying
Right.
I actually had like the highways mapped out. I mean, I could, yeah. But then once it gets off like the main corridors, I do kind of have trouble picturing. I am a little creeped out by seeing something like that just cruising a few hundred feet above my street. But you know, I don't know. I look up at the sky and watch that. And I enjoy watching satellites orbit the Earth. And you know what? When Sputnik went up, people thought they were all going to. So I don't know, it's all a matter of time, I guess, with technology.
But you know, like you said, it I'm just putting out another point on this. You know, is that we get comfortable with these drones flying around from Amazon because it's convenient. Now all of a sudden, whether it's a you know our own government or whether it's another government sending in drones, are we going to are we going to take a second look at that? Oh, maybe Amazon's just delivering something else, or maybe it's another drone. And he's talking about wanting to do this in the next 5 years. You know, look at 5 years ago, you know, technology-wise. Who knows what's going to happen in 5 years between now and then? Could this work in 5 years?
It's squat. Nothing will happen. We'll still be using Microsoft Windows. It'll suck. I'll still be sitting here. I'll have a lot more grandma beer. I'll be complaining about Microsoft Windows like 9. Or whatever they're going to call it, Windows 2017. I don't know. You know what? There will be no flying nothing. This is just to get us all excited. Nothing will ever happen. You know, my internet will still suck. My TV will just be older. I'm sorry, but that's real life. We don't have flying cars. We still have like Windows that last 3 years before they start to fog up in the middle. I mean, technology's cool, but come on, none of these like really great ideas. I mean, come on, it's like the space plane. Remember the race for the it was a space plane, right? There was the big X Prize or whatever,
right?
I mean that was like awesome. That was like super cool. Where is it now? I mean,
but they're taking people up in it soon.
You made that up.
I mean, you have to be like a multi-bajillionaire.
Yeah, and then. I mean, it's like, where is that benefiting? Do I see that's benefiting me, like, right now or in 5 years? What about, remember there was the big prize for the unmanned race across the desert? What was that called? Do you remember that? Where I think it was actually the guys from Carnegie Mellon won. Didn't they have, I can't remember what the prize was, but I mean, they have all the super cool stuff, but it's like, nope. I still can't get a mailbox with a self-shutting door. my trash cans are still right side up full of rain or snow. Actually, that's not true. I got awesome garbage. But I mean, come on. I mean, it's like my lights don't turn themselves off yet. And
you need the clapper.
I still come home to a door.
Timer.
So, see, nobody has time to mess with the little things, Tim. We're too busy worried about the big things, like flying to the moon and how I can get my how to podcast like a pro from Steve C. from Amazon to my doorstep in 30 minutes. I don't care about somebody turning off my lights.
Download?
I don't care about my...
Is there a download?
Oh, I don't know. Download. That's so yesterday.
I was listening to it live.
Now I have a drone deliver me a thumb drive with it on it.
I had it implanted in my brain while I slept last night. That's tomorrow.
That's got to be at least next Tuesday. Come on. That's at least after the fiscal, Geekster's fiscal week. That's a little too far-fetched.
Something happened. I listened to the wrong one, I think, because I keep saying utterly over and over again.
Utterly.
Utterly?
It's better than actually. I always say actually a lot. And then I'm hearing on some podcast, I can't stand when people say actually all the time.
Actually,
I forgot who said that.
I would disagree with that because those people are just disgruntled.
I can't remember who said it, but dare I say? But
should we beat that horse again?
But these drones. If all I can say is about this, that sounded good, didn't it? All I can say is if Santa can do it, I don't see why we should have a problem.
Well, maybe Jeff Bezos is Santa.
Oh,
man. Mind blown.
Well, in that case, I got a bone to pick with that dude.
Exactly. Where's my pony?
I'm like, gee, Jeff. disappointed in what you've been bringing me here the last few years. Now I want some. Sit down, Jeff. It's going to be a while. Jeff, I want to sit on your lap, Jeff.
If you would bring me gigabit internet to my house, we'll be good. We'll call the rest a wash. A wash.
Did I bring, real quick, a few weeks ago, probably a month ago, a guy bought one of those wireless access extenders, the little things that just plug in the wall. I'm not talking about the power over either, I think.
No, I remember that. It had the two.
It was a neck gear.
Yeah, two antennas off it, and we thought that you... Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, you do. Okay. You know, he brought it in for me to try. I hooked it up. I got it working right away. He couldn't get it where he tried again. He was on the phone with Netgear. Anyway, Thanksgiving Day, he sends me an email. Hey, Mitch, hope you had a great Thanksgiving, blah, blah, blah. Well, I hooked it up, you know, took my time, and I finally got it working. I figured out what I was doing wrong. He was not putting the passphrase in. He was putting some, I don't know, maybe the log one in instead of the passphrase for the, you know, actual network, something like that. The web key, yeah. That's what I kind of figured. He was putting something in wrong all, you know, the whole time.
Yeah.
But he finally got it working.
Cool. It's always sometimes the little things.
Yeah, I mean, I'm guilty of it too. I do plenty of stupid things.
Could be worse. You could drive for 5 hours to go visit him to plug it in.
Yeah, you don't live that far.
Been done right.
The first time, I know. Sheesh. What do you do? But that's what that's all that's been happening for me this last week. Nothing too exciting.
So you guys had a great Thanksgiving, I gather.
Yeah, we stayed here. We didn't go anywhere. It was just nice. We just had my wife's sister and brother-in-law, or my wife's sister and her husband and their kids live right around the corner from us. So we all went over there and just hung out and played some games. And that night we came home pretty early. So we didn't do the, you know, go over, watch football type stuff. Football was on, but we played games, came home pretty early. My son marched in our the Thanksgiving parade here in downtown Portland, and it was his first time in a parade. He'd been marching and practicing with the high school. He's not in high school. He'll be in there next year, but really enjoyed it. So we went downtown to watch the parade and came back home that day and just started packing some more. So that's kind of been, we've been sleeping, breathing, living. Putting things in boxes. Yeah. I did order, though, from Amazon. I received some stuff for my new office. I'm going to go get a new corner table from IKEA. And then I ordered a dual monitor stand, so it's going to clamp into the table, and then I'm going to mount two monitors. And then I ordered a docking station for my laptop. And because right now I have my monitor. I have a second monitor, and then I have my laptop. So I have two monitors, you know, laptop monitor and second monitor. I'm actually going to go straight up just two monitors and then use my docking station for my laptop, and ordered that. And yeah, ordered, you know, a couple gifts for my in-laws for their, you know, their Christmas presents. And yeah, it's good. So Thanksgiving was good. Christmas is going to be, us moving and unpacking and stuff. So,
well, this year things are tighter because, you know, my wife retired back in August. I got all these doctor bills coming, so it's, that part's not good. But yeah, no one's going to get, well, we don't spend a whole lot anyway, but it's going to be a whole lot less spent this Christmas, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can't be helped.
Next thing I need to do is get a mic stand. I need to figure out some way to do a mic stand.
It's standing up pretty good right now.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I want to have it.
Oh, get one of those spring-loaded ones, or
yeah, something like you have there, where I could just kind of put it, roll it, move it off to the side, because you know I'm either doing this or another hangout, or you know, I want to make sure. See, that I feel like I have to unplug and plug this back in.
I got this at Best Buy. People mock this one, but I have no problem with it. It's just the arm. Now you got them ones that are like the accordion type, which are probably more professional. But this is fine for it. It's only $30, I think.
Oh, that's not bad. Mm-mm. I've been looking at doing the IKEA hack one, but I look at it and I look at my stand, and I, you know, because you got to take apart this stand that I'm using to go onto that IKEA thing, and I can't see how the bolts go right, and so I may just buy a desk and just say forget it.
The only bad thing is if I don't know how they are. Do they clamp onto the desk itself or mount? Yeah, see, you got to worry about the shock. You just, if you do it that way, you just got to make sure you got some insulation between, you know, the mic and. Yeah. See, this is not touching the desk whatsoever. It's because it's on this thing. It's on the carpet.
Oh.
So it's a stand. It's an actual stand. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll do that then.
Because, like, I think Steve D did a nice thing. It's some kind of accordion. It might have been a light that he made, you know, an actual light that he made into a mic holder. But I think it's clamped onto his desk, and you could hear every, you know, every shock waves through the desk and then to the mic.
Yeah. All the noise. I know I have some musician friends, and maybe they have some mics that they don't want to use anymore. Maybe I can buy one of them for them.
They'll know what to do for sure.
Yeah. Me, I just talking to this thing in front of my face.
Yeah, yours is good. I mean, the only thing we hear you type, you know, when you do it. Other than that, yours is normally always the best sound. And tense.
Yeah.
I had to get that in there.
I know.
But here's what I don't understand. I'm looking at Tim. You're a pretty good distance away from yours. I'm using the same mic you are. Last week I used the USB. And I noticed when I backed off, maybe you can tell now, my audio is probably going down. Well, I'm going through a noise gate right now, but last week I wasn't, but it was still, I noticed when I backed off of it, the audio really dropped down. But yours is like consistent for whatever reason you're like, what, about a foot away from it now? I can't do that. No, Tim.
Oh, yeah. No, Tim. Yeah. Hey, Tim's a lot farther than for me.
I can't. Mine, well, like you can hear, it's probably dropping pretty good right now. Yeah. But then again, I'm going through a voice gate.
Mine's all pre-recorded.
Yeah. And it's perfectly in sync with the video.
It's like how, you know, you guys just kind of like go along with it. Kind of like, I think that's how they draw up cartoons. You know, you never know if do they draw it first or do they do the voices first. I mean, who knows? This is kind of like that. And you guys are pros. I come in for like an hour and a half, and I just like, you guys have to like make up stories around it. So you guys are pros.
Look, did you see the compliment you guys just got in the chat?
I know, it's so awesome.
Thank you, Tacos. Very nice.
Oh no, I just I just read that. That's cool.
Yeah, anybody that. Man, if you've been hanging with us and you followed us over here, if you enjoy the show, thanks.
For a whole year. He's been listening to us for a whole year.
Anybody who has listened to like more than like five episodes is doing better than me. So,
and actually, we're coming up. The Geeksters started just about 2 years ago this month, years ago.
Yeah, I just got, we're working on them. If you enjoy the show, thanks for listening. We really appreciate you. I know that I appreciate the opportunity to just come along, talk. These are my friends. We'd be sitting around BSing anyway. So, anything we could do to improve the show, please let us know. But I know that I really appreciate the opportunity. If you get a chance to hang out in the chat room when we do this, it's usually Tuesdays. Sometimes it's Wednesdays if our professional schedules don't allow, but man, come hang out in the chat room with us because we have a great time. And one of our regulars in the chat room, probably just Levy, one of the nicest compliments I know that ever had, and I probably had in a long time. So really, really appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, you can check us out live. We do. There's a video, and then of course there's the chat room at podnuts.com/live. We start up, we get everything rolling along, and then a lot of times the video will kick on before we actually start recording the show. So there's kind of like the pre-show, and sometimes depending on the time, there's not much post-show, just banter that goes on just because it's usually, time for all of us to part ways and go spend time back with our families and stuff like that. But, we'd like to hear you guys. We'd like to have you, on the chat. We'd like to hear your voice comments. You can call us at 707-6-PODNUTS. PODNUT, excuse me. No Z there. Podnuts.com/live. You can get a hold of us if you want to send us a voicemail or like a pre-recorded voicemail. And then you can send it to us via email at geeksters@podnuts.com. Next week, guys, we had briefly talked about it, but I'm going to work on getting Lisa from Call That Girl to come on and talk with us a little bit more about what she does. If anybody doesn't know what she does everything remotely, which I kind of find that that's an unusual thing. But I mean, I do stuff remotely. I'm not 100% remotely. And I think that is a great business plan where she's 100% remotely. It does sound like that every now and then that she does have to go on site, but you know, probably 99.5% of her job is 100% remotely from her home office. And she does things that I would never think about. Brand new computer builds, the clients will go buy them and she'll transfer all the data over and do a computer build, total printer repair, printer setup, network setup. I mean, things that I would think I would need to be on site. She does it completely remotely. So I'm impressed and I'm looking forward to hearing more about what she has to say.
Yeah. And she's like, for years she's been doing this, and I remember years ago thinking, oh my gosh, what, but you know what, she's a problem solver, and she can break the steps down and say, hey, you know what I mean, these are all the steps that we can do remotely, these are the steps we can't, and she figures out how to make those last few steps work. And she's good with the people, and so, you know, getting on the phone, I know that remotely I pick up the phone, I'm talking to somebody, first thing I said, they sound nervous, like, oh, I don't need my computers, but I can work with that kind of person, so can she, and she has definitely has had all the pieces, and has had a drive to be, to do this. She's fantastic the way she's figured some of these things out, so it'll be a great show.
Yeah,
I'm going to have to do a remote job tomorrow, because this, I think I told you about this laptop I recently fixed. So the guy brought the part in, and I mean, yeah, the stick of RAM was bad. And so I gave it back to him today. And, but they don't know how to get into their wireless network. They don't know the passphrase that was set up. And they try, you know, the bottom of the router, but you know, they said it's not working. All right. So what I can do is I'll log in tomorrow. I'll send you this site, you know, download TeamViewer. I'll log in. And I don't know if you guys ever use wireless KeyView. Yeah, no. It works really well.
Is it a
Norsoft? It's good. It will get, like, on the computer that I'm going to connect to tomorrow, it connects to the router. It's a wireless laptop. With this program, you can get, it will recover the passphrase of the network name, you know, router.
Maybe oh. Not. We'll see how you make out.
It's always worked. I haven't used it a ton, but it's always worked for me.
I hope it does.
Like three or four times I've used it, it's always worked. So really? Seriously?
But the computer had
terrible luck with it. But I mean.
Oh, really?
It's just been my experience.
No, it's just like the three or four times I use it, always worked. But it's got to be on the computer that's connected, that, you know, right, that's connected to it at least one time before.
It's got to happen. That's my question. So the computer has to at least been on the network at some point.
Right.
Okay. Right.
So I'm not going to connect to the computer I fix. I'm going to connect to their present computer that they're using, this laptop that they already have, that they already have connected. I'm going to use that program on there. So.
Oh, I see what you're going to do. Okay. Yeah.
So, and then I'll get it'll bring the number up. I said, here, we'll write that down. Or they're copied in a text file, print it out, and just go over to the other machine and put it, you know.
That makes sense now. I was curious how that was going to work on a computer that had never been connected to the internet or connected to their wireless, but they already have a computer
That's been connected.
Okay, cool. Hey, I like it. I'd be interested to hear how that works tomorrow. I had a program one time on my iPhone that did that. So,
because I used it once before, and then and so these people, because they had changed it, you know, it wasn't on there, but they couldn't remember what it was. It was their phone number, their home phone number. That's what it was. Yeah. That's what it came up with. So.
Well, yeah. Well, I'd be interested to hear how that works.
Let you know.
Cool. Tim, if you want to get a hold of you, how can they do that?
Oh, gosh. I can't remember anymore. I'm in like Tim in the Podnuts forums. I'm Tim Bauermeister on the G+. Oh, you can email me. I got my email set up at Gmail. You can actually email me at agentinliketim@gmail.com.
Very nice.
Pretty sweet. Go for that. Yeah, that's how you get me.
Very nice. And Mitch, people can get you at the Geeksters at podnuts.com?
Yep, and just reference me. But no one wants to know anything about an old guy that can't sleep.
Well, you know, you never know.
Hey, those are rare.
What, old guys or people? Old guys that can't sleep.
Yeah. They can't sleep. They all sleep.
So, hey. Well, it looks like I am, but I'm not.
All right. Sounds good, guys.
Oi.
All right. Well, another.
I'm going to throw that in there.
I don't know. I'm not going to ask. All right, guys. Well, I think another good show. And if I don't talk to you guys before then, have a great Geeksters fiscal week. All right, guys. Talk to you later.